you know, a nativity. Actually, you know, these words, they tend to kind of get a little bit... English is a living language. A nativity is a story about someone's birth. Now, in fact, we could be talking about anyone's birth. A nativity is the hows and the wheres. You know, you've probably talked to your mum and dad or asked them, you know, what were the circumstances? And we hear different circumstances of people's birth, people born in taxis, people's being delivered, and babies being delivered in very, very strange or exceptional circumstances. And we all like to hear those stories, and those are all nativities. So we've all got a nativity story. But, you know, when we talk about the nativity, the world understands we're only talking about one particular birth. The nativity is not confused with anyone else's. It is the story of the birth of Jesus. And that is something which is known the world over. Doesn't matter what religion they are, whenever they hear of the nativity, they understand what it means. That is the power of Jesus' name. That is the renown that he has in the world. Whether people like it or loathe it, it is a fact and it is there. The reason for that is there were a number of things that were very special about this particular nativity. It wasn't just that he was born in a manger. We've heard lots of stories, like I said, of babies being born in very exceptional circumstances. It was the birth of the most important person ever born. Now, my first question that I need to ask is, what was so special about the birth of Jesus that everybody talks about it so many years after it happened? Clara?
That he died for all of us.
He did. He did. That is very, very important, though, because the baby became the person who died.
He was born and he was the saviour of the world because he died for our sins.
That is absolutely true as well. But do you know something else? Do you know how these things came about? Was Jesus just another man?
No, he was Jesus Christ, but in human.
So he was God in the flesh, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was that fusion.
Human spirit.
He was human, but he was also God. And it's human. Never, ever happened again or since, has it? Yes, he had human spirit, but he also had God's spirit, all in the one body. So that was why this particular birth was so absolutely special. You know, the other thing, when we talk about nativity stories, we generally talk about them historically. We don't really have much choice, do we? Because we look back to when someone was born, don't we? We remember how someone was born. Now, today, when we think back to when Jesus was born, you can, you know, think it's the same thing. But that was another strange thing about the birth of Jesus. It wasn't just today looking backwards. You can go as far back before Jesus' birth. Right? So we're 2,000 years after it. You can go 2,000 years before it, and people were still talking about it. That's amazing, isn't it? That is utterly amazing. They were actually talking about the nativity 2,000 years before it happened. That's because everything that happened around Jesus' birth was all prophesied. It was all the fulfillment of prophecy. That was one of the strangest things as well about the birth of Jesus. Because We've just been singing about it, haven't we? We've just been singing about the story. Who were the people who first heard about it?
The shepherds.
The shepherds. Right. Were they the first people to know about it, though?
No.
Oh.
The first people to know about it were probably the prophets who got God's messages before it actually happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. Well done. Hugh, would you like to say something, Hugh?
I was going to say the first people to know about the birth was his mum and dad.
That would be true had it not been prophesied long before. But indeed, yes, his mum and dad certainly knew about it as well. Well done, Hugh. That's an extra special present for you. So, the thing is, anyone who was familiar with the scriptures knew where and when Jesus would be born. So where were they all? Where were they all?
In a stable.
That's certainly where Jesus was born, yes. But where were all these people who knew? You know, think about this for a moment. You know, and, you know, I'm going to touch on something which, you know, is sort of quite a bit about where we were. If we could fix a date for Jesus' return, what would we do with it? If we knew absolutely faithfully in our hearts that Jesus was coming next Monday, we would tell everybody, wouldn't we? We would tell absolutely everybody. This is stuff which you cannot keep to yourself because you realise it changes the whole world. It impacts everybody, and everybody deserves to know. That, by the way, is what evangelism is all about. Everybody deserves to know. What happened way back then? Because it appears that the most pivotal point in history went largely unnoticed, apart from the select few to whom God chose to reveal it on the day. It reminds me of the story of the feast that Jesus told, where the invited guests were all too busy. So instead of bringing the invited guests, he just brought in the waifs and strays around and just told them all to come in and enjoy the feast. And that's really where these shepherds were at, wasn't it? Because God had made it plain to anyone who cared to look what was going to happen and when and where. You know, on the one hand, we have the shepherds in the fields, a band of smelly outcasts who would have been living out on the hills with the flocks. But on the other hand, this group of wise men. Now, you know, we know that these wise men, magi, they were rulers. They were senior government officials from another land. These were people of great wealth and of great position. They had followed this star. Many others would have seen the star, but however, God had revealed its meaning to this particular group. Common factor with all of these people, though, with the shepherds and the wise men, none of them were deserving. None of them were deserving. They were all being invited to take part in something which they didn't deserve. They hadn't bought a ticket for this event, had they? Now, do you know what we call that? Do you know what it means? What word we use when you're given something that you don't deserve? A wonderful thing.
Mercy.
It can be mercy. Clara? Yes. Do you know what that's called?
Mercy.
It can be mercy. You?
Grace.
That's it, absolutely. It's called grace. Whenever someone gives you something that you don't deserve, they just do it out of the kindness of their heart. We call that grace. And sometimes we call it loving grace, because it is expressing love and care for the people who are going to receive it. So all of the people that were involved in this had all received an aspect of God's grace. The rest of the town and the world, for that matter, they would have been busy going about their daily lives unaware of the significance of what was happening in their midst. Hugh?
Well, the people were too busy trying to pay their taxes, whereas the shepherds of the field, who had absolutely nothing, didn't have any taxes to pay.
There is that aspect to it. Certainly, everybody's busy. You notice that in the world today. You know, how many people crowd into the churches against the shops? You know, it's just so much like the world today, isn't it? You know, and John put it as the Word had become flesh. That was, remember, this is what was so special about Jesus' birth. When the angel spoke to Joseph in Matthew 1, it was explained that Jesus would be Emmanuel, God with us, which was a prophecy from Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Isaiah further prophesied in chapter 9 and verse 6 that, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Think of those titles. No man could hold those titles. No man could be called Mighty God. And that was one of the titles alongside all of these other titles that Jesus had. He was and is the Messiah. Hugh?
He was the only king ever in history to have his own star.
He is indeed the only king ever to have his own star. But when he came, there was no fanfare or public celebration that you could have expected. Not on a global scale. As I said, when we look at the absolute uniqueness of this event, the fact that it was cataclysmic to everyone throughout Earth and throughout all time, you would have expected the sort of events that we talk about in Revelation with the Second Coming, that the whole world would see it happening. But it was very, in that respect, very low-key. There was a lot of, you know, there is today a lot of debate over the timing of Christ's birth. And many people got all twisted out of shape and even refused to enter into any celebration because they're more concerned about how a day was used before it was used to celebrate this. That, however, is missing the point. And, if you will pardon the expression, it's throwing the baby out with the bathwater. The fact is that Jesus was born. A miracle happened that was long prophesied. Whenever it happened, it was never going to meet with everyone's hopes and expectations. We've just heard how it was ignored by those who knew to look for it. How did the wise men come to know where they should go?
The star led them to Bethlehem and to the stable.
The star led them in the general direction. How did they know specifically where to go?
God.
Clara?
Because they followed the star.
They did follow the star, but it took them generally. You?
And like male drivers today, they had to ask.
Yes. They stopped and asked directions. They went to see King Herod. And they said to King Herod, "We've been following this star. We know a king has been born, king of the Jews. Can you tell us where we should be looking? Now, Herod didn't know himself, but he asked some people. Do you know who he asked? Who did he ask, Clara?
Maybe some of his guards. Maybe.
Maybe. He actually asked the religious people that were there of the day, the Pharisees and the people who know. They said to them, where do the scriptures say that the king should be born? And they were able to tell him because they knew. It was in the Bible. It was there all the time. It was to happen in Bethlehem. And they even quoted the prophecy that said where it would, how it would happen. So, when you think about the fact that they all knew but didn't bother going, and the ones who were involved, they didn't know what was happening. You know, remember what your dad said about when the angels appeared to the shepherds. What was their reaction? Clara?
Afraid.
They were very frightened. They were very frightened. They might have thought they had seen a ghost. You know, these shining beings appearing in the sky. Oh, I would be terrified.
I won't.
Well, you're a lot braver than me. I would be very frightened.
I don't think I'd be terrified because I already know what they would be.
But again, you know, we can see this parallel. We've done nothing special either to earn the privilege of God being in our lives at this time, just the same as those shepherds and the wise men hadn't done anything themselves to earn the right to be there. We haven't done anything. We're just ordinary people. But we are privileged to have a relationship with God. And Christmas is a time to remember God's grace in calling us now. But is this an exclusive little club? No. God does not want anyone to perish. So we need to spread the good news by unwrapping Christmas and sharing the story of Jesus that is generally drowned out and lost amongst all the tinsel and turkey. A lot of people who celebrate Christmas don't know that there's a person in the middle of it. They don't know the story of Jesus Christ. They think Christmas is, well, you tell me, what do people out there generally think Christmas is, Clara?
Just about the presents.
It's just about the presents, yeah.
Or about Santa Claus or something.
Or about Santa Claus or something, yeah, absolutely. Is that what Christmas means to you?
No.
Christmas
means the birth of Jesus to me.
Absolutely, well done, well done. Yeah, the clue's in the name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Christmas,
yeah.
Christ.
Absolutely. That is absolutely right, George. Well done. Well done. That's right. Absolutely. So notice then, we read in Luke 2 that the shepherds were told, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
Everyone.
And that's what we've got to remember. That's why we need to share the story of Christmas, the proper story of Christmas with everyone. And this was revealed at that time to a few shepherds. Just the same as there's only one or two people in here who know this truth. Against everybody else that's out there. But this is good news, not just for us, but for everybody. And that's where we need to try and tell everybody all about it so that they can understand how it's good news. So Christmas is a time for sharing and a time for giving and receiving presents as well, but that's all about celebrating what God and Jesus has done in our lives. The good news is that Jesus has already paid the price for our sin. So he offers us the gift of salvation. In Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 9 it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God, by his grace, sent his Son to save, not to condemn. Salvation is a gift given in love. But we need to believe in order to live in that reality. It's like someone handing you the keys to a mansion and saying, go ahead, it's yours. If you don't believe that to be true, you'll never open the door and enter the reality of that gift. Notice the reaction of the shepherds when they saw the baby. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You know, people like a good story. They like hearing a good story. And the fact that there's a truth to the story. You know how Alan keeps telling us a true story every time he speaks? You know, they really are true stories. That's why we need to listen to them and take the lesson from them. So, you know, everybody likes hearing a good story. And the story of Jesus Christ is the best story in all the world. And the reaction that they had to hearing and seeing that the Saviour had been born was to spread that news. They had that amazing story to tell. The Saviour had been born. It was news of great joy to all the people. And we, you and I, have got the same news today. We've got that same news. We all enjoy spending time with family and friends over the Christmas period, but it's easy to forget the reason that we're celebrating in the first place. So, I'd like to give you a challenge this Christmas. Share the story of Jesus with others. And when you do, pray that God will open their eyes to the reality of his love and grace. Jesus has done everything necessary for us to be saved and hands it to us as a gift. It's up to us whether we accept that gift, and he gives us free will to reject. However, once we accept the gift of life that he offers us, we start a journey of transformation as we grow and develop in Christ. Just a last thought. Jesus not only gives us the gift of life, he's with us every step of the way by his Spirit in our new lives. When we remember his birth, remember also that he lived and died and rose again and ascended. He's now at the Father's right hand, interceding for us day and night. Ephesians 2 says we too are sat in heavenly places. How? Through the presence of God living in us with his Spirit. Christ is therefore more than just being a story about a little baby. It's an amazing story which should give us hope and assurance of our salvation and the future God has in store for us. That's really something to celebrate, isn't it? And how do we celebrate things? How do you celebrate a birthday?
With a party.
With a party, yeah.
Party, food.
And what else?
Fun and stuff like that.
Presents.
Yay! You got it! You got it! We have a party and we have presents. And that's what we've got for you today. We have got some lovely presents to hand out because we are celebrating a wonderful event. So I'd like to call on Jan to come up in her wonderful costume.
Do you know, just like everybody else has helped us, Jan is going to ask if there's anybody willing to help. gift again. Oh, no. These are special helpers because they got smiles on their faces today. Yes. So will you help to get the presents out? Oh, look. That's for Annette. That's for Russell.
Thank you, Clara. Thank you.
Let's see what we've got here. Is for. Oh, that's for Pat.
Missy and a client.